It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hey everybody, how are you? Welcome back. It is me, Elise Swopes, and it is my podcast, the Swopes So Dope podcast. I am really glad that you're here. I am really glad to be here. I'm just really still on such a great high from my last podcast. It really brought me so much joy to give Damien his platform to speak his story and to give him some light when he hasn't had some in quite a little bit. So thank you so much to those who have shared the podcast, who have supported Damien. And there's so much more work to do. But again, if you'd like to help him out, go to topnotchwritinginc.com or just go to my Twitter or my Instagram and look up my highlights and you'll find some more information. So anyway, today's topics are going to be pretty good ones. I think the idea of perfectionism has been a topic in a lot of my conversations recently. And of course, privilege is a raring topic as well. And influence. I am an influencer myself, but what does it take to actually be an influence? What does a true influence entail? So we're going to separate the popularity contest from the true people who make a difference. So I hope you enjoyed today's topic. So let's get into it. Now, perfectionism is an interesting one because I think we all deal with some form of perfectionist mentality. We live in a society where, of course, there's a fear. I think perfectionism is fear-based, obviously, and it's very, I guess, preventative in a way, and it's kind of in a worst-case scenario. And so, obviously, perfectionism is a way to survive. But at the end of it all, when you really think about it, perfectionism really is hardly a perfect life. I mean, if you're living based on your fears, you're really not living based on your dreams and your ambitions. And so there's limitations, there's procrastination, and you got to be honest and think about what's it holding you back from. So the first step to breaking the cycle of perfectionism is to understand that it's not you and it can be a changed behavior. It's not your personality trait. It's just something that you've become used to in order to protect yourself, in order to be alive. And that's really not the worst thing. You just have to realize that some things that worked before just aren't going to work the same way they do now. So you got to consider and not even just consider and think about it, but literally sit down and make a physical list with a pen, with a pencil, with a piece of paper, with something that is pulling it out of your brain. You know, you want to make a list of what triggers that perfectionism and what that perfectionism stems from. Where does it come from? Who put that in your head? Did you put that in your head? Is it your family? Is it friends? Is it your experience? Is it your future-oriented mentality? Are you too present? Are you worried? Are you concerned? I mean, there's so many things to consider. And you've really got to consider your tasks, your goals, your ambitions. I mean, what are you doing? What is your purpose? Who are you trying to be? Is it realistic to who you are and what your heart is driven to? Because that authenticity is really going to speak for itself no matter what. Now, battling perfection is going to be a 24/7 task, and that will It will involve you challenging your inner thoughts consistently. You've got to be mindful in the moment when things are happening. And you've got to genuinely allow positivity and love to propel you, to inspire you, to tell you what's going on before negativity and doubt. You understand? You've got to shift your automatic response to be positivity and love, because that's genuinely what life is about, okay? You've got to prioritize the self-care, which will in turn allow you more positivity and love. It will allow you to propel yourself through that. It will allow you to be more mindful, because then you don't have to worry about all the little things internally. You've got to realize that time off is not time wasted in your everyday. Perfectionists have this idea that a break or relaxation is not helpful or intuitive, when in reality, it's everything. You've got to invest in yourself in that way. You really do. And that's going to really assist you with being less obsessed with being something, right? Now, the thing about perfectionists is that they may think that they're really talented and can go for a ton of different things, but they hardly ever actually do anything because they're so afraid of trying, you know, that they might fail in that perfect state that they hardly ever do anything. So you've got to consider that it's really, really important to face all of your worst case scenarios. And that means, you know, maybe saying yes more than you want to say no. And sometimes, and that means realizing that not everything is black and white, adding some color to your life to realize that there's tons of different options and to talk out your worst case scenarios with not just yourself, but other people so you can get a different perspective and also write out your worst case scenarios and live out your worst case scenarios and remember them too. Remember the outcomes. Remember that you have survived absolutely everything that you have gone through so far. And you've also got to realize that not everything needs to be perfect, right? Sometimes good is better. Sometimes good is just enough. Sometimes done is better. I mean, it's just important to think about the return of what you are trying to be perfect at. Sometimes there's situational standards that have to be considered, and you really got to think about not wasting time on the things that aren't going to matter in the long run. And that's a really important thing to think about, is asking expectations, figuring out what's something worth. And that's really going to save you some time and some effort and just some extra stress, even trying to make something more important than it even needs to be. You also really need to know when to move on. You've got to set a time limit for yourself on doing things. Sometimes the perfectionism is because we just allow too much time to give our attention to something. But at a certain point, our head gets way too involved and our soul leaves our body because it's just, there's no more room to be heard for it. And so are you using your time wisely in that case? Sometimes it's good to set a time limit, whether it's a 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours on something, just so that you can make sure that you're visiting it and thinking about it in a really successful way. And not so much in a way where it's got to be this sensational, perfect thing. I mean, when you do enough on something in a certain amount of time, it's considerably enough to so many others. So you really just got to allow that space to be seen. And that will also entail saying no a lot more, leaving more room for things that you want to say yes to, things that matter, like scheduling more relaxation time, scheduling things in that will really allow you to know when to kind of relax, know when to let go, know when to move on, because it's really important to know when to lower your standards in that way, when to practice good enough, to kind of see that perfect standard isn't always necessary. Another really, really important piece to perfection is realizing your judgment towards other people. That judgment towards other people will really kind of come into play on how you judge yourself. When you're more patient with other people, when you're more kind with other people, when you're more understanding with other people, it really allows you to be more kind and understanding and patient with yourself. And when you allow yourself to be more vulnerable, when you allow yourself to open up more, you really give yourself the permission to be imperfect. And that's when you allow yourself more freedom, more authenticity, more life. So celebrate your mistakes, celebrate your differences, celebrate your understanding and empathy, because that's really going to be a huge, important part in dismantling that perfectionist attitude. And one of the most important things I think with getting rid of that mentality is making sure that you aren't aimless. I think aimlessness sometimes invites comparison, it invites competition. I think when you find your purpose, when you find your mission, when you make your own rules and you remove yourself from that competition mentality, you become a little bit more driven and purposeful and how to see what you want, and that the things that may come in your way are not really going to alter that. And I think that's really going to help a ton. I think that's kind of where perfectionism comes into play a ton, is when people are aimless and they're just not sure who they want to be, where they want to be. And when you kind of figure out not so much about the things that you want, but the way that you want to feel, you know what I'm saying? The emotions before the things, the external, you start figuring out what your real purpose is. You start figuring out really what you want. So start there first, and everything else will kind of start making sense. So to wrap up perfectionism, you've got to ask yourself a few things, because obviously perfectionism stems from the fear or the lack of something and or failure, right? So consider, is your perfectionism coming from facts or your own interpretation of something? Are you a natural negative person? Do you come to negative conclusions? Is that your, you know, go-to? Is the situation you are in or what you're doing, is it as complicated or is it as bad as it may seem to you? What's the worst that could happen? And what's the probability? Okay. And most importantly, will it matter in 5 years? Because you've got to consider those things. So perfectionism is a work in progress, like I said, and it's not something to be embarrassed about. I think everybody has perfectionist tendencies, and it makes life interesting to be almost a little bit the opposite of that, because you get to allow yourself to practice and to grow and to learn and to just exist and to be. And when you do try to put that perfectionist attitude on yourself too much, you limit yourself. So no limitations. None. Let's not do that. All right, so privilege. The thing about it is I think everybody has some privilege in one way or another. It's, if you don't know what privilege is, it is the societal value of something that you have on your person or in your name or in your life. The thing about privilege is that you don't need to be guilty. You don't need to sulk in your privilege. You just need to act. You just need to make a change. It's really that simple. So I'm going to kind of walk you through a few steps to consider some of your privilege and something that you may not have considered before and something to consider now, which is really important these days, right? So, and always, but today is today, so that's when you can take the most action. So first, think about parts of your identity that you worry or think about the least, because obviously that's going to be something that you don't have to worry about all the time. And it's going to have something to do with either your race, your gender, your ability, your religion, your sexual orientation, or something that has to do with your identity, of course. So think about something or parts of your identity you worry about or think about the least. So that's going to be your privilege considerably. And you've got to think about and learn about the people who lack that ordinary privilege at work, at school, even at home or in their own communities and their families. The thing about this is it's not oppression. It's not an intentional situation. I think privilege is very unintentional in its entirety, even though it may stem from intentional systems, but it can lack rights. It can have less freedoms. It could lack benefits. It could have less advantages. So it's oppression's cousin, so to say, or maybe sister or brother, but it's still just as worse. And when you don't act on your privilege, you are silent to it and you're allowing it to continue and to survive. And so in order to act on your privilege, you've got to look for opportunities to think and to act through them. So listening is very important. You've got to make sure that you're not making it about you, most importantly. Sometimes people like to get carried away with trying to be the hero of a certain situation, when at the end of the day, you really just have to be quiet and maybe open up the floor to somebody else who needs to speak. So A few things you can do is ask some more questions, research and add some more data and help people understand some more information, raise issues, amplify the voices that should be heard, and then add perspective and help those people who are interrupted from people who don't let them speak, right? You've got to give credit where credit is due and give praise. Like I said, it's not your job to save people. It's not your job to save the oppressed. Of course, you can do plenty to help and to do what you need to do, but it's your privilege that you need to use to create a restorative society. You know what I'm saying? It's really making sure that you're dismantling a catered society to white privilege, to gender privilege, to male privilege, to hetero privilege, to socioeconomic privilege, to religious privilege. You know, I mean, there's tons of different types of privileges that people are in, whether it be their safety, whether it be their community, whether it be a close-knit group of something where they can succeed through one another. I mean, there's so much to consider, but change can indeed occur, and I believe it. Now, influence is a hot topic. It's been a hot topic for quite some years. Of course, people say they hate influencers. Well, when they say they hate influencers, they don't realize they are talking about people like me. I'm just kidding. No, they're really not. They're talking about people who are really not that creative, I suppose. They are very selfie-driven, and they're much younger, maybe a little bit conceited and self-centered and unappreciative. No. Those are not the influencers that I'm talking about today. So the real influencers are people who are good people, people who genuinely care about other people. These are people who want the world to be a better place. And it's not just the influencers we see today with a million followers. It's people with true integrity. So here's my list of influential tips for people who want to be influential. So the first step to being influential in your most authentic way is to believe in yourself, okay? This is huge. This is the most important part. I think it's doing what's important to you. It's doing what's difficult, because of course there's going to be a ton of people who say you can't do it, and there's going to be a ton of people and things in your way, but you do it anyway because you persevere and you believe in what's right. You're excited to learn, you're excited to invest in yourself, and you take risks, but they're intentional, right? You know what your outcome is. You know what you want for yourself because you have high expectations for your life. And that entails you being inspirational to other people. And through that, you'll either be an expert at something, or you'll just be a really charismatic person, or you'll just be really caring and helpful. And through that, you may not be successful at absolutely everything, of course. You're not perfect, as we have described. And so that means that you're going to be way more inept to delegating tasks and to helping other people in that way, where you're showing appreciation for other people's talent by inviting them on your ideas. And that in turn is going to allow you to be kind to other people. You'll eventually maybe be a mentor, you can be an ear, and it'll help you show more interest in people. You can exchange ideas, thoughts, and just speak kindly and have tact. And I don't think people use enough tact these days. Tact is very important to me. It's a word, if you haven't heard of it, it means just speaking in a way where you're not, basically it's a privileged way of speaking. It's speaking when you don't think about other people's positions or experiences. And so I like to speak with that as much as possible and to consider other people's, experiences and stuff like that. So you're also going to want to make sure that you have integrity. Integrity is huge. You're going to want to make sure that you have value and that your services matter, that when you bring yourself to the forefront, that you are bringing your best self, that you matter, that you can help any situation that you are involved with, and you do it honestly. It's not a fake it till you make it situation. It's really just an authentic, true trust. through that too, you can manage perception in that way. You're very responsible and how to organize well. And you're very purposeful and driven, which is important. And you do the right thing when necessary. Sometimes that may come with backlash. That's okay, because the right thing in the long run always pays off. You also, through your influence, make sure that you are always doing your research. Okay, you don't show up to anything unprepared. Never, never come unprepared. You always trust the regular unknown, which means you trust everyday unknown. You wake up in the morning, you never know what's going to happen. But the known. You figure out the known. You study the known. You make sure that it's possible to know what can be known. That makes sense. So you take action through the known. There's no room to second guess. There's no room to doubt. There's no room to assume. Also, leaders and influencers always self-audit. They adjust. They reanalyze. They make sure they embrace change and innovation. They never hold back when it comes to what's new or what they can bring themselves to. You know, never be afraid of what there is, because you're really almost just being afraid of the fact that you may not be able to handle it. You can handle everything. Really just about how you're going to bring yourself to what there is. It's important to think about one day you'll always be on the top, okay? But the next, you could definitely be on the bottom. I mean, every day is different. You're going to be high and you're going to be low. And you have to understand that being an influence type of person or a leader or in this type of sense is not going to be a consistent effort, especially if you want to keep your mental good, your mental health in a high standard. You want to make sure that there's balance, that you're focusing on you, focusing on other people. So really quickly, all in all, to become an influence in your own field, you've got to make sure that you pursue your passions and you become an expert at that, okay? So think about an educational practice that you may need to be getting into, or something that you do yourself consistently so that you can grow and get better. And you've got to work hard. You've got to be reliable and you've got to be consistent. You have to build that momentum for yourself. Don't rely on inspiration or motivation. You really got to keep going no matter what. And make sure that you're being engaging and sociable in different communities that you want to be a part of. And be genuinely optimistic about what you're excited about for yourself. If you're not feeling, you know, that excitement, then obviously you're not in the correct passion or you're not pursuing the correct thing. And so you really got to consider and rethink and update the goals that you have for yourself. And that's another part of it is you got to think and through and audit yourself consistently. And apart from pursuing, you know, your very specific passions or goals, you don't necessarily need to do that either. Another way to be a leader or influence in your own right in a different setting is you can embrace leadership opportunities and just be proactive in different opportunities that come up around you. Maybe you're in an office, you know, space, and that's where you want to be. So engage in networking opportunities and utilize social media, connect with people, follow people, engage with them in their day-to-day lives and their personal life beyond professional, and do favors and ask for favors. Borrow some sugar every now and then. And I don't mean that literally, but in that sense of a neighborly kind of construct, is just helping people in their time of need when possible, if you can offer it. And beyond just a working type of situation in your personal life, be likable, be personable, make eye contact, and repeat important information when people tell it to you. Remember important information about people. And find things in common with others. It's really important to build that kind of camaraderie. And be sure to follow up if you can. Follow up on different situations, follow up on letters, gifts, things like that. It really will help you build a really solid foundation in an influential role. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It's a little bit quicker than normal. It seems like this one went by really quick. I wish we had a little bit more to talk about, but we don't, unfortunately. I mean, if this is enough of information, I think you can cram it into this little bit of time. I think it's just as great. And then you'll get to enjoy the rest of your day and pay attention to what you want to do and what makes you happy and brings you peace. And that's so exciting. And I'm just really grateful, again, as always, that you have chosen to spend your time listening to me and to be open and humble in that way, to open your mind to greater things and greater thoughts. Take care, stay safe, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.